Having a wonderful day. Just a reminder for starting with Ma'ariv tonight. We're saying Talum Matar Livracha. We'll continue on with our discussion of Zakin Mamre, and we're going to come up to the penultimate Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin, which is really nice. And Birtz Hashem will make a Siyum by Shalosh Shudis this week. So again, a great accomplishment. This is the fourth Masechta now, in addition to Tainis and Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah. Sanhedrin a little bit longer, wonderful achievement. So a little bit of background here is that there's an Issa Daraisa called Inoy Hadin, that we're not allowed to wait once a Gemara Din, once a verdict is reached in a capital case, so we're not allowed to wait and we have to implement it right away. That's the reason that we don't handle capital cases in Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, because you're not allowed to implement capital cases on Yontif, you always have to be Malin Es Hadin. So it's to give people an understanding of how chamor, of how severe this halacha is, that let's say you have a pregnant woman who's sentenced to capital punishment. So it's a huge discussion in terms of what the status of the fetus is. We've discussed it many times in the past. But let's say, you know, it's certainly a very serious question according to many views in the Rishonim as well as in the Achronim. That terminating a fetus is tantamount to murder. There's no question that that's true universally for Bnei Noach, but that's likely true for members of Klal Yisrael also. So what would you say? You know, all you have to do is wait a week, wait 2 weeks, wait 3 weeks, whatever it is, till she delivers the baby, then you can execute her. So the halacha is that you don't wait, because that would constitute inoy hadin, and instead, this is somewhat graphic, so I'll choose my words carefully, but we terminate the pregnancy directly, and then we implement the capital punishment. That's an amazing halacha. Why? Because we can't wait. The only exception, the Gemara Narachan says, is if she's already Yosheves al Hamashber, she's already in the process of giving birth, then we allow her to finish. Quite a kula, right? It's very generous. So that gives you a sense of how chamor inoy hadin is. And yet, despite that, there's one case in halacha where we're allowed to violate it, and that's the Zakin Mamre. Because the Zakin Mamre, to put him to death in a public setting, to wait until the next regel, even if that means, right, if we're a pregnant woman, we're not going to wait 5 minutes. Halacha. For a Zakin Mamre, we'll wait 6 months. Right, let's say he's determined to be a Zakin Mamre right after Sukkot, we're going to wait until Pesach. The Tiferes Yisrael says, okay, so we're going to wait until Chol HaMoed, you're not going to actually do it on Shabbos or Yontif itself, but because we have to make a public spectacle of v'chol am yishmu v'yirau, as we'll see in the Mishnah in just a moment, v'lo yizidun od, to attack the Sanhedrin is the worst crime in halacha, in this respect. It's not worse than Avodah Zarah, chol Shabbos b'var Esya, but in terms of the public threat that it constitutes because of the dividing the Jewish people of machlokas, so we treat the Zakin Mamre more harshly than anybody else. Again, the man has already been sentenced to death, and we're going to now wait not 5 minutes, we're going to wait 6 months, right? That would normally be 180 Isurei Doraisa, but we're going to do that because this is what's required. So Rabbi Huda was like scandalized by this. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ein ma'an en estino shozeh. How can we violate the Issa d'Araisa of Inoy Hadin? Elo m'misin oso miyad. You have to kill him right away. V'kosvin v'sholchen shluchen b'chol ha'makomos. You just send letters to let people know that we treated this person so harshly because he's a Zakin Mamre. Right? B'chol ha'makomos yishponi nischayev misa b'bez. And Tiferes Yisrael adds in the words, right, because he was Mamre on the Bezdin HaGadol. So that is... I don't know of a more exceptional halacha. I'm teaching Sanhedrin this year in Yeshiva. I started with this sugya just to try to prove, you know, how seriously we take the idea of Bezdin HaGadol, and that a rebel against the Bezdin HaGadol has to be treated in the most extraordinary halachic way. Mishnah Hey, the penultimate Mishnah in the Masechta. Navi Hashaker Misnabel Mashalo Shama. He makes up a nevuah entirely. Mashalo Namarlo. Or let's say his friend's a Navi, and this was mentioned to his friend, but, you know, wasn't mentioned to him. Misaso bidei Adam, so he's chayev chenek, he's chayev misas bezen, aval kovesh es nevuaso. A Navi who suppresses his own nevuah, who's unwilling to share it, v'am mevater al devrei Navi, or somebody who violates the words of Navi, v'navi shavar al devrei atzmo, or a Navi that's unwilling to go along with what his own vision was. That is to say, he shares his vision, but he's not willing to, you know, practice it. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu was, you know, telling him one thing or another, like Yechezkel was told to do many interesting things, Hosea was told to do many different things. Misasim b'dei shamayim shenemar anochi adro shmeimo. So can anybody think of an example here, which actually happened in Tanakh, of Navi hakoveshes nivuaso? A Navi who suppressed his nivuah? Ah, that's the key to the whole story of Yonah, because Yonah realizes that that's the halacha, that he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim, but he's unwilling to share this nivuah. Nineveh, he doesn't want to have them with the opportunity to do tshuva, so what does he do? Fully expecting misa b'dei shamayim, right? He goes to a boat, and he tells them, throw me into the sea, so because it was obvious that he was going to be killed for this. Nobody was more surprised than Yonah when he ended up alive at the end of the story. I don't want to take my word for it. You can read the Malbim's Perish on Sefer Yonah. It makes that point, right? Yonah was trying to do it with as little collateral damage as possible. So anybody here? Oh, Martin's keeping out the back. Yeah. So that if you just, Daf Yomi, this just came up in Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim says that Yonah was interested in minimizing the collateral damage from this. So what did he do? He paid for the entire boat. He chartered the boat. There's nobody else on the boat. He's the only passenger. All right, the sailors, you know, that's a good question. But that he didn't want anybody else on the boat because he didn't want to take anybody down with him to the bottom of the sea.